Good evening. As I was getting ready for the lesson this evening, I thought about a movie called The Man in the Iron Mask. And I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, but I'm going to kind of spoil it. So if you had any desire to watch this random movie for the 90s tonight, plug up your ears as I talk about it. But The Man in the Iron Mask, I don't remember everything from it, so if I was to give you a full synopsis, it would probably be pretty choppy and ugly. But one of the kind of the main points of the movie was there was this evil king of France. Nobody liked him. He was real nasty, real kind of snotty and bratty. He was a young king, and he had a prisoner. Within his prison, he had the most watched over prisoner, the most top secret prisoner, and he wore a mask. Nobody knew what he had done. Nobody knew why he was there. Nobody knew anything about him. Well, come to find out, we find out later in the movie, the man in the iron mask is actually the twin brother of the king. Looks exactly like him, completely like him. And kind of what the plot ends up being is they take this king, they rescue this king, and they replace they take the man in the iron mask, this young man who's quite a bit more humble than the king that they have had, and they replace the king with them, and they put the king in the iron mask. So kind of the reason why I was, or one of the thoughts that came up when I was thinking about this, is there are quite a few people in this world that are not royalty hiding behind an ugly mask. It's a lot of times it seems like it's kind of the opposite. There are a lot of people in this world that may have an outward appearance of goodness and may appear to be something, but on the inside it's kind of a more uglier picture. Obviously this hypocrisy is not the place for a child of God. Really, if you were to make a list of kind of the things that you don't want to be or be accused of, I think kind of a hypocrite would be pretty high on the list. When somebody puts on a portrayal of being something, if somebody declares something, if someone talks about being something and then their life is completely opposite of that, it's hard to respect that, and I think that most of us don't. Not only is it being a hypocrite not really respectable, but our adversary, Satan, is the biggest example of one. You remember when Paul talks about him in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, he says that Satan puts on the appearance of an angel of light. He appears to be an angel of light. He has the outward appearance of an angel of light. And yet we know the opposite is what's really true. Satan on the inside, or the reality of Satan, is about as dark as you can get. So with this in mind, hypocrisy is as far, we want to be as far away from hypocrisy as we can get. Hypocrisy should have no relationship with us as children of God. We don't want to look like, smell like, taste like a hypocrite. We want to be as far away from it as possible. And that brings me to Romans chapter 12. If you would turn over to Romans chapter 12 with me, there is a specific verse in the middle of this chapter that I'm going to want to zero in on. But I'm going to go ahead and read verses 3 through 17 this evening. Romans chapter 12, starting verse 3. But through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. So kind of the verse that I want to kind of zoom out and bring out for us to look at for just for tonight is verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let our love be without hypocrisy. Have you thought much about your love? Have we thought if there is hypocrisy within that love? It's kind of an interesting thing to think about. So tonight, real fast, we're going to look at, I'm going to bring out the, first of all, the imperativeness of love, being people of love, and how we can make sure that, or how we should be making sure that that love has no hypocrisy behind it. So if we were to bring up this question, love without hypocrisy, if we were someone who were trying to be kind of lazy about this and try to just figure out an answer real quick, well, how do you do that? Maybe the answer that we come up with is, well, we just don't love. I don't love. I don't make a commitment of love. I don't say that I love. And if I don't do that, then obviously my love is not going to have hypocrisy behind it. Well, that might be it's an answer for sure. It's an answer. But here's a question to that question. Are you a Christian? Have you declared yourself to be a Christian? If you haven't, I would definitely recommend to think about that. But if you have put on that name of Christian, if you have said that you are a disciple of Christ, if you have said that you have turned your life over to God, I want to read this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. What does John say? He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we have put on the name of Christ, if we have put on the name of this God, what does it say about this God? What does the Bible proclaim about this God? He is love. He is love. God is the epitome. He is, in all that He is love. So, if we have put on the name of Christ, we have made the declaration that we are love too. We have said, through putting on Christ in baptism, yes, I'm a person of love, because that's what our God is. God gave Jesus as a propitiation for sins. If He has so loved us, if He had that great amount of love for us, what does John say? We also ought to love one another. It is impossible, impossible completely, to be a disciple of Christ without love. Have to have it. There's no way that we cannot have it. And that means having love, and as Paul would encourage us, a love without hypocrisy, even in all the various situations when it is very hard to do that. Having a love without hypocrisy always. We see in verse 3 of chapter 12 of Romans, Paul says this, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly than himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Obviously, if the big thing about hypocrisy is it's an inside deal. We can do all the things, we can appear to be all the things on the outside, but we can wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is dirty. So what is Paul saying? He's talking about changing the way you think. Our love should be without hypocrisy, and that is going to start with our mindset. That starts with a change in mindset. We have to completely squash all of these negative thoughts that we may have against one another. I was thinking about in verse 13, it says, rejoice with those who, verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Kind of a funny example. Maybe you're in the throes of hosting for someone and being hospitable to someone. And, you know, in the back of your mind, you're just like, will you just leave? Why are you still here? And it's these kind of thoughts that we need to squash and be people of love and realize that we are contributing to the needs of the saints. Be a people of love with a love that's not hypocrisy. It starts off with our mindset, not allowing these negative thoughts that we may have against one another to sit there. They need to be snuffed out. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, when we read about not thinking more highly of oneself than they ought to think, then he talks about each of us having different gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We are to be people of love without hypocrisy, even when our mind starts to want to do comparisons. There are plenty of times where I found that, maybe we start thinking that we're better than somebody at something, or maybe we start worrying because they are better than us at something, and our mind does this kind of back and forth of comparisons, something that has no place in a child of God. Not that we don't feel that way. Of course, we fall short. But this is not the intent that God has. This is not the intent that Jesus had. It's so unlike a disciple of Christ. You remember when Jesus' disciples came up to him, and what were they debating? Who's the greatest? They were asking, who is the greatest? You know what he said to them? He said in Matthew 20 and verse 25, after calling them to himself, he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. We can do all the comparisons that we want. But even if we were in some sort of high position over one another, even if one of us was king over the others or lord over the others, we had some sort of reason to actually feel higher than somebody else, what does a child of God do? They lower themselves. They lower themselves. That's what Jesus said. Just as I came to serve, that's what he expects of us too. In verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. That's what children of God do. They seek not to try to make themselves feel better, not to try to build themselves up, but to give each other preference in honor. That is a love without hypocrisy. Should have a love without hypocrisy, even in the times where it causes us to do the hard things. I was thinking about in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. A lot of times, these times come about when Someone is rejoicing that, you know, we don't feel like rejoicing. Seems like the times when somebody is in a time of mourning, you know, maybe that's not a time when we feel like mourning. We don't want to bring ourselves down, but a love without hypocrisy has empathy and wants to be empathetic towards people. Maybe that does call for kind of a betrayal of self, but that's what a child of God does. Puts themselves aside when the need be to show love for their brethren. That is a love without hypocrisy. Love without hypocrisy is a love for a person. It does not matter if you are in front of them or next to them or on the other side of them or behind them or across the room from them or 40 miles from them. Wherever they are, it is a love for them. A true love without hypocrisy. And kind of a encouragement that Paul gives us at the end of chapter 11 of Romans. He talks about the majesty of God. In verse 33, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. To Him, from Him, through Him, to Him, from Him, through Him, to Him. This should really be our mantra every day. I mean, you think about this. We come from God. God has created us, not just has created us in the fact that He has given us our physical body, but if we put on the name of Christ, God has made us into a new creature. We are God's creation. Through Him, through Christ, we have been completely wiped of our sins and have been made clean and whole. And now we are to Him. This life that He has given to us is to Him, from Him, through Him, to Him. And this God, this wonderful, majestic God, who my life is for now, says, love and don't be a hypocrite about it. Be love, walk the walk. And I, who have given my life to Him, what can I say? But I'll try my best, Lord. I will. Kind of one of the really it is one of the saddest things for me to think about is the fact that kind of our two biggest examples of hypocrisy in the Bible, the great examples of hypocrisy come down on those who were God's people. God's chosen people. God talks about them in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. He says, "This people draw near with words and honor me with lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me. Their reverence for me consists of tradition, learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed." This is God's people. This is God's chosen people that He talks about. And what He says, they draw near to me with words. They say all the right things. They have all the right appearance on the outside, but their heart is gone. This is again quoted by Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. Again, talking about people that should be God's people, that should represent Him. And we can remember in Matthew 23, starting verse 13, Jesus says this, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses for a pretense and you make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land just to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Coming down to verse 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. But these are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others. How disappointing is it that these words are said about God's chosen people? The people that He called out. The people that He set apart. It's hard to find words for it. But the wonderful thing, my brothers and sisters, tonight, is that we get to be different. We are now God's chosen people. He has called us out. He has saved us. He has chosen us. And we can make the decision to not just be in name only, but in who we are, in the love that we show, and in the lack of hypocrisy that that love has. Isn't it wonderful that we get a chance to be God's people? If you need that opportunity tonight, if you'd like to come forward and put on the name of Christ in baptism, please do so. Or together we stand and as we sing.